going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And holding, delaying some more. That one around in front, pumped out there by Hornquist, taken by Crosby. A shot, score! It's Letang! It's 2-1!
And then Crosby to Letang. Martin Jones not able to move right to left, but what an effort by Letang to find that soft little area and bank it in off the goaltender almost.
My intentions are to be the head coach of the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Got it back to Schultz, and a shot went wide. Rebound off the boards. They score! The Penguins have scored. It is Hornquist. A bounce off the boards was shaken in, and Hornquist, who has not played a lot in the game, made the most of the time that time, and it's 1-0.
Kuznetsov! Kuznetsov! Scores! The Penguins is over. For the first time, Ovechkin prevails over Crosby in the playoffs.
Mike, each of the previous two off seasons, there was been plenty of rumor and speculation suggesting you would be coaching elsewhere. All of that proved to be unfounded. Just in the interest of potentially getting ahead of another round of that this upcoming offseason, can you just state what your intentions are with regards to the Pittsburgh Penguins?
My intentions are to be the head coach of the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Wow. Is what I say this morning, Bob Pompiani. I got a call from Limits, I don't know, an hour and a half ago, somewhere around there. And he read me the statement from the Penguins, parting ways mutually, which always goes in quotes, I might add, when you hear about that, or when it's phrased like that, mutually parting ways with Mike Sullivan. That, my friend, is a gigantic story that we begin with today. Bob, I trust you're well. I trust Limits as well. I have a lot to say. I'll say this at the beginning before we get to anything. Before we get to whose call was it really? Before we get to potential replacements? Before we get to where Mike Sullivan is going? His tenure here, his time here, the man and the coach himself deserve the ultimate praise and respect.
He had
the greatest run of any coach in Penguins history. He's the most accomplished coach in Penguins history. You could make an argument for Badger Bob, which one was, you know, the better coach in the history of this franchise. Badger Bob had to completely change a franchise culture and only had, tragically, the 1 year to do it. You could make that argument. But Sully, either way, you're talking about the most accomplished guy, brought cups back to Pittsburgh, transformed that team when Sidney Crosby may have been at the lowest point of his career. The stars weren't getting it done. It looked like a lost season ahead, and in walked the boss, Sully, and took that team to back-to-back cups. So that's what I begin with today. I think there's a lesson for another team in town here, Bob. But that's where I have to begin as a standalone, is the ultimate praise and respect for Sully. It was time to go, past time in my opinion, but he deserves to be remembered forever as a guy who brought Stanley Cups, plural, to this town.
Yeah, not easy to do, especially when he took it over at the time and they were struggling, and then boom, everything changed based on, you know, the situation with how his style complemented what they were trying to do. And hand in hand, when they first started, Jim Rutherford and Mike Sullivan worked together to accomplish that. And then some things changed along the way with, you know, how the game is played, what you should do, should you adjust to the game, do you have enough players to play the kind of game you want to play, all that comes into conversation. But the number one thing about Mike Sullivan is he's the winningest coach in Penguins history, and he should be remembered as someone who delivered twice and took them, you know, before this last little drought, into some serious playoff, you know, series that could have gone either way. In fact, you know, when Washington won that game, you know, that was the end of it. But that that year also, they were in position to make it potentially three in a row had things worked out, but they didn't. So his time here should be remembered in a very, very, very good way.
And then there's the current story. And the only thing I would quibble with what you said is a little drought. It's been a long, long, long drought. They've missed the playoffs 3 years in a row. They were eliminated in the first round four straight times before that. That's 7 years in a row of underachievement. Only a coach who wins to the level he did would get that kind of leeway. And the message was lost. It's been lost for a long time. Penguins friendly media told us how crazy it was that Mike Sullivan might want to go to the Rangers, and all the speculation was crazy. And of course he'll be back, and he should be back. And it's been my feeling for a long time, Bob, and I've said it right here, that it's just time to part ways, and it's okay. It's okay. The Patriots and Bill Belichick parted ways, for God's sakes. And it's a lesson for the other team in town here with Mike Tomlin.
I will say that the Rangers have made this very clear that he was on their list to begin with.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure, you know, that's the kind of stuff that needs to happen. When somebody's really interested, they have openings, then there are other openings as well.
Sure, there's
many
openings.
He's one of those guys, which probably put him in a frame of mind of saying, all right, good. I have this interest. I know I'm going to get a job, and he'll probably be the highest paid coach in the history of the game when he gets that job.
Great. He's a great coach,
right.
a good coach right now.
That led to where we are now,
I think. He's not the right coach for here anymore.
No, I think like any coach has been for a long time, and I would include Mike Tomlin in that. After a while, it just gets to the point where a change could be necessary.
Yeah, exactly.
But in this case, you know, whether it was Mike Sullivan forcing this issue or the Penguins, I'm not sure how that works. I heard Doran and Adam talk about it, that he had a list of demands.
Non-negotiables.
I want to hear what that demands were.
Oh, I would imagine, if I had to guess, Bob, the very first item on that list was, if that Carlson guy is still here next year, I'm not. That's just a guess.
But didn't you get the feeling that Mike Sullivan wanted him? I mean, I remember talking to him when that trade happened.
Oh, yeah, everybody wants him in August. The problem is in December, January, and February.
I understand that.
When he's given up chances, when he's creating chances.
He was okay with him coming here knowing what kind of player he was.
Sure.
But he's complicit in that as well.
But then he had to live with him. Oh, I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about who might replace Mike Sullivan.
Oh, there's an interesting list out there.
For a moment here, though, Bob, let's go to the phone lines, because somebody who's been on this story from the beginning, and you mentioned in New York Sullivan's name's come up a lot, is my old friend Arthur Staple from The Athletic, hockey columnist, covers the Rangers and the Islanders. Arthur, how is this news landing in New York? Is this practically a foregone conclusion in your mind and others around there that Sully is Rangers bound, or are there other good options like his hometown of Boston where he coached before?
I think there's lots of good options, Joe. You know, it's if the Rangers were maybe in a different situation, coming off a different kind of season, then you'd say sure. And I still think it's the you know, if I had to put a percentage on it, I'd probably put that one as the highest, maybe a little over 50%. But you know, I think that's based entirely on how badly Chris Drury has wanted Mike Sullivan to come coach this team since he took over 4 years ago. You know, obviously, when he hired Peter Laviolette 2 summers ago, Sully wasn't available. 4 years ago, I think maybe, you know, just taking the job, he thought there was a chance to back channel a little bit, and Sully ended up signing a pretty long extension soon after that. So it's just always been someone that Drury feels like could coach this team, could be do a good job coaching this team. He's been here before as an assistant to John Tortorella when Chris Drury was the captain. I think a lot of people who played on those Torts teams didn't love Torts, but they did like Mike Sullivan. And, you know, his success soon after that wasn't necessarily easy to predict, but not that far off from what a lot of players who played for him when he was an assistant thought of him. So, yeah, you know, it's a great desire of the Rangers to get him. There's probably a great desire of a lot of the other teams, Bruins, the Flyers, maybe even the Canucks if they move on from Rick Tocchet.
Yeah.
And then you see maybe a few days from now when the first round ends, you can see, you know, to me there's three teams. There's Vegas, there's Dallas, and there's Edmonton, three good teams that like to compete every year that probably would be very willing to throw their own coaches overboard to get Mike Sullivan. So it's a good time to be Mike Sullivan. I don't know how confident I feel in the Rangers, but it's definitely a good time for him.
Do him and Drury have a relationship going back?
You know, I think so. They're obviously both Boston University products, you know, that New England mafia that we got going around here. Even Peter Laviolette was a little bit of part of it, not the BU part. But, you know, I think those connections that go way back, like I said, you know, I don't know that there's lots of good feelings about Torts from his time here, especially from some of the veterans. But I think Sully, you know, kind of did that good cop to Torts' bad cop for a long time with the Rangers. And I think, you know, his ability to kind of run be the inside guy running the teams alongside Torts really resonated, I think, with that group. And they certainly overachieved a lot. There wasn't a lot of talent on those teams. It was a lot of Henrik Lundqvist and try to scratch out a goal or two, but they did get to a conference final. They did kind of pull themselves out of a rut that they'd been in for a long time under those two guys. So, you know, I think that's what stayed with Drury, and certainly the success that he's had since then stayed with him and made him the top candidate, I guess, and now certainly the top candidate now that he's available.
Arthur, the overriding thing that I kind of take from this is that Mike Sullivan doesn't want to be part of a rebuild, and that's exactly what's going on, even though he has some high-end talent on his team and some big contracts. What is the exact state of the Rangers? Because I thought they took a major step backwards as this season went on. I remember their opening night here at 6-0. They came in and blitzed the Penguins, and people thought this was going to team that you know, would make a Stanley Cup push. Where are they in terms of what they are? Are they a team in somewhat of a rebuild?
Well, that night, that opening night this season feels like it was about 100 years ago, because so much has happened with this Rangers team since then. You know, they traded their captain, Jacob Trouba, in December. They traded a couple of their good young guys in Kaapo Kakko and Filippito. They got JT Miller. They had one of the worst months in December that they've had at any recent decade I can think of the Rangers, and there have been some bad years in there the last 30 years or so. It's been a wild ride, and, you know, I think it's not quite finished yet. So I think that's the part that, whether it's Chris Drury or James Dolan, the owner, they're going to have to sell Mike Sullivan on a vision that's not really complete right now. It's certainly crazy to think a team that was two wins from the finals less than a year ago, now being in the situation of, are they even going to be good enough? Where, you know, obviously the Penguins are keenly interested whether they're going to get the Rangers' first round pick this year or an unprotected one next year. So the Rangers have a lot of decisions to make, too, about where they're going to go from here, how quickly they're going to try to turn this thing around. It's a fascinating situation to see how far they've fallen, how they're going to try to pick themselves back up. And I think from a stability standpoint, to get someone like Sully in here would be huge and kind of send the message to the room that, okay, we've got a coach in here who knows what he's doing, who's dealt with a lot of different situations. We're not going with a first-time coach or – you know, a guy who's been an assistant for a long time, a guy who's maybe more of a retread style person. You know, I think that the message it would send would be pretty strong to the room and pretty strong to the fan base that they're in this to turn it around quickly. Like you said, I don't think Sully wants part of a rebuild, and I don't know the Rangers want to be part of a rebuild either right now.
Well, one thing he'd have that he didn't have for several years running here, Arthur, is a goaltender, and that's a good place to start. But what I want to ask you before we let you go is the pool of candidates, because now the Penguins and Rangers might be competing for certain guys if Sully doesn't go to New York. I know Rick Tocchet and David Quinn have been mentioned as possible successors already to Mike Sullivan, but who are people talking about in New York other than Sully as a possible new coach?
You know, I think Tockett would probably be on the list. He did interview 4 years ago when they hired Gerard Gallant. I don't think David Quinn is going to get another crack at it,
having been
dismissed by Jerry, I think, as his first move as GM. So I think then you're looking at someone a little bit newer. You know, you could maybe look at Mitch Love, who's one of the Caps assistants, who's gotten some interviews before and is going to get a lot of interviews, I think, in this coaching cycle. You know, maybe you're looking at a guy like Todd Nelson, who's had a lot of success at the AHL level. Do they dip into the college ranks? You know, Denver University's David Carl seems to be the hot candidate. Jay Pandolfo, who coaches BU and was a teammate of Drury's a long time ago there. So I think there's not a lot of obvious candidates. You know, I think the last time around for the Rangers, Peter Laviolette was the obvious candidate because the Rangers do like guys with experience, especially a Stanley Cup winner and a guy who, you know, knows what it takes to be around here in this market. So I think when you get beyond Sullivan, get beyond Tockett, it's an interesting mix. And so I think that puts even more urgency on the Rangers trying to get Mike Sullivan here.
Arthur, appreciate you taking time at the last minute here. It's always fun to do a coaching search. Enjoy yourself.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, see you, man.
Very well said. You can tell he's very, very well connected with all these names and people that he's seen over the years in New York. And I look at the Ranger roster just now and I'm thinking to myself, they're old and they got a lot of issues that they need to solve too. So
they do.
So they're not exactly a Stanley Cup team waiting. They have some
but
players.
But a good place to start is with their goalie.
I understand that, but other teams have good goalies too. And he mentioned, which I was thinking about the other day, if one of these teams in the NHL playoffs currently gets dismissed, and that could happen too, because in the NHL territory, they don't hesitate. If they want to coach, they'll abandon whoever's behind the bench, regardless how much time's left. Edmonton's a prime example of that. Edmonton has been an underachieving team for a long time. Although I got to give them credit last night, they came back in overtime and won a game. I didn't think they would win, but if they end up losing in the first round, there could very well be an opening there with a high-end team.
Right. There's still some high-end talent there, though, Bob. You start on defense with Adam Fox, you have Panarin, you have Trocheck, you have Lafreniere.
But they've been around for a while, and I watched them play at the end of the year, and they were completely out of whack.
They were
not playing good hockey.
I mean, Drury's
all done
a terrible job there, and people were outraged in New York when he just got extended. But, man, to start out with that goalie and some of the high-end talent. But there's problems, you're right. There's problems everywhere. That's why teams would want a new coach. Plus, I think Arthur, and you may have said it too, there's teams that would do a Craig Council situation here with David Ross, like the Cubs did.
No question.
Where you may have a guy, and because Sully's available, say, forget it. But you have the Bruins, where he started, where he's from. You have the Blackhawks, where he was a consultant when they won a cup before he came to the Penguins organization. You have the Flyers, if he wanted to go after the Penguins a little bit. You have the Ducks, you have the Kraken. And you have the Rangers now.
How about the Canucks? Did you mention Canucks?
Vancouver?
Just because they're in a kind of an impasse, it looks like, with Rick Tockett.
That doesn't
Rick
seem Tockett, like a good situation, but yeah.
But I'm only saying to you that Rutherford hired Sullivan.
Yeah.
So he's over there now, and you know he said he's going to make Rick Tockett one of the highest paid, if not the highest paid guys. Well, his level of success is not anywhere close to Mike Sullivan's level of success. And I like Rick Tockett a lot.
Rick Tockett has had almost no success as far as playoff
runs
go.
The one year, last year, they had a big amount of points, and they were a very good team. And then this year, they had all that stuff internally with JT Miller and Pettersson, and it became out of control. But my point is, they have a relationship there.
Yeah.
And that's a team that still has some
high-end talent. Is it a good relationship?
Well, I don't know that. That's the thing. They have a relationship. That's why I didn't say good, because as they left, I wasn't sure how it ended.
I just accidentally FaceTimed Arthur Staple. He must be wondering what I'm doing. Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. Let's talk about how we got here and what happened before we move on to anything else. So, I mean, it's kind of obvious at this point that even if you have a good coach, maybe a great coach, when it's time to part ways, and it's past time here. 7 years with nothing. That's a long time in professional sports. Sullivan bought that time by winning a couple cups. His teams no longer did what he preached. He wanted smart puck management. They were the worst puck managing team you've ever seen. He preached team defense. They were one of the three worst defensive teams in the NHL and have been a horrible defensive team for the most part for multiple years in a row. He wanted them to be, quote, hard to play against. They're easy to play against. They don't protect Sid. They don't protect their goalie. They don't protect the front of the net. They don't attack the other goalie, and they don't attack other stars. They're team polite. As I've said many times, Bob, if the Lady Bing were a team trophy, the Penguins would be a dynasty at the moment. So, to me, and again, none of the people really covering the Penguins saw this, but to me, it was past time, and he needed to be gone. He needed to be gone. Now, you said that Crowley and Dorn went on the air today, and they did, with a report that Mike Sullivan went to the Penguins with a list of non-negotiables. So where do you stand on what I just said about how it was obviously time, and B, about this reported list of non-negotiables that Sully took to the Penguins?
It might have been his time to make a play. And if he had non-negotiables, he knew that they wouldn't meet him. Sometimes you go into these things knowing in advance, if you're him, that I am going to force my way out of here. And the way I do it is come up with a list of incredible things that they'll never agree to. And then it's viewed as a mutual departure, which this has been viewed. It could very well. He was the guy who drove this. He was the guy who went in there thinking, I need to figure out a way out of this because I do have a signed contract. And if they're not willing to do anything, but you know, you're right about your assessment of the Penguins. For everything he preached, and he was getting mad at the end of the year talking about the, you know, defensive accountability, how to make, and they didn't do it largely with the guys that he relied on to play. And if, and that's a tough situation if you're Mike Sullivan. You know, Letang and Carlson are two biggest violators of that, and yet they're on the ice more than anyone else. So if you're a coach with high-end talent, they're not doing what you want them to do. What do you do? Do you sit them? Well, if you sit them, then you're hurting your own cause. So it's a tough situation, but you're right. They did not play anywhere near the kind of hockey that he was demanding of them.
For several years now.
Right. But also, I would have to say this, that I don't think he adjusted to what the league was doing as well. Whereas when he first came in, the league adjusted. He did something that forced the league to adjust to him.
Yes.
Which was play fast-paced hockey, which win your puck battles in the corner, keep the puck in the offensive zone, that kind of stuff. And they were good at it. They were better than anyone.
Right.
Kessel was brought in, accelerated that program. But then as time went on, things started to change. There was more of a physical presence that we saw on very, I don't know how many teams, but many teams. And the Penguins couldn't answer that. And they weren't, it seemed like, not willing to answer that. Instead of double down on what they thought they were good at, but they weren't good at it anymore, which was playing that high-end kind of hockey back and forth. They did not have an answer when teams decided to, you know, forecheck them in their own zone and they couldn't get out and they throw the puck around. So
speed was no longer an advantage, and I agree with
you. No, it was a big advantage back then. It was the advantage.
It was the advantage, and he was stubborn. Sully was very stubborn in the kind of player.
I think the Reeves acquisition was the biggest. If there was something that, you know, broke up that relationship or started to crack it between Rutherford and Sullivan, it may have been Reeves. Because Sullivan didn't play him hardly at all. And Rutherford made a big statement there by getting him because he was tired of watching his players get, you know, hit over the head, hit in the face, whatever they were getting in there. And these are the star players we're talking about. So,
and nothing has changed there. And you could listen to Jay Caulfield, Bob Airey, over recent years, just shredding guys in that locker room.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
For not protecting Sid at the top of the list. It was a very interesting way that the Penguins worded this. And again, I'm sure you'll get accounts out there that say, oh, it was a mutual parting. Just like last year, you got accounts when people like Frank Saravalli were reporting that Dubas and Sully were having a little friction here. Oh, there's no friction there. Sully and Dubas get along fine. Everything's great in Penguins country. Because it always is, according to some people. Clearly, there was a disconnect, because guess what? Now Sullivan is gone. So I'm going to go with some of the out-of-town people here, like Arthur Staple. Oh, Arthur Staple's crazy. Sullivan's staying here. The Rangers can wish all they want. Well, now Sullivan's gone. So very rarely in sports do a coach and a GM and an owner walk into a room together and say, you know what, guys? I think it's time to go. Hey, we were thinking the same thing. It's a mutual parting. It doesn't work that way. So the way that Kyle Dubas and the Penguins phrased this is that they made the decision. And the key here, after their understandable and worthy praise of Sullivan, is at the end. They talk about his love and loyalty for the organization. Here's the key statement. From Dubas and the Penguins, quote, this was not a decision that was taken lightly, but as we continue to navigate the Penguins through this transitional period, we felt it was the best course forward for all involved. We doesn't include Sullivan anymore. The two we's there, Bob, is Kyle Dubas and the Penguins wanting to make it clear to everybody that this was their call. Even if it may have been Sullivan going in there and saying, I'm out if you don't do this. They want to make it clear that it was their call, and it's never a mutual parting.
If you're looking at how things were phrased, then you have to look at Mike Sullivan's last time speaking publicly here when he was asked specifically about his intentions, because it comes up every year. He said, my intentions are to be the head coach of the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Neither
him or Dubas said yes to that idea.
Right. But my point was, he phrased it in a way that made you think, he's not interested in leaving.
Oh, see, I had the opposite.
No, the actual words.
The words after that, but when he was asked point blank, you coming back, my intention is a very interesting way to phrase it.
Well, but I'm saying that gives him an escape route, too.
Sure.
That's what happened here. That's why he phrased it the way he phrased it. My intention. So my intentions also include a list of non-negotiables, and if they're not met, he didn't complete that part of the sentence, but if that was true, and I don't know if it is or isn't, I trust those guys in the morning. They had that.
So do I.
So if that is part of this, then he knew that he was planning on some sort of exit strategy, and the intention is to stay here, but there's more to come. And the more to come was, I want this, 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 and if they're not going to meet it. So everyone's trying to cover their own butts here in this mutual parting. But
right.
They both had intentions, and the intentions were to separate.
Do you think the Penguins' intention was to separate before Sully walked into that room with that list?
I think they, too, were looking for an exit strategy. And when that became apparent, that if there was a list involved, then that's their way out. So maybe it was just two trains coming head-to-head, and something had to give, and they both agreed that this would be the right way to do it, but both probably had intentions of moving on.
Interesting.
Wouldn't you think that?
Well, Sully surely did if he walked in. This was Sully testing his power, which is enormous. You don't normally have a coach in place and hire a GM, right? It usually works the other way around,
right.
So it was always, that was always in the back of my mind. Telephone, Bob. That was always in the back of my mind from the start of Kyle Dubas's tenure. But I believe that if Sullivan wanted to come back or wanted to come back under, you know, hey, you tell me what to do type thing, that the Penguins would have had him back. But maybe you're right. Maybe secretly they were looking for an exit strategy. When he walked in, that was it. But yeah, Sullivan left the door open, and so did Kyle Dubas. Did he not, Limits, when he was asked, hey, point blank, is Mike Sullivan going to be your coach next year?
He did. The door was wide open.
Yeah, Mike's under. I haven't had any postseason meetings yet with Sully.
Goodbye. He didn't say yes, did he? I don't care what he said after that.
Well, intentions and that comment make you think that both had different agendas.
Yeah.
That they were trying to figure out ways to amicably come up with a conclusion that let them both go in different directions.
Okay. The bottom line is that they did. And to me, and please weigh in here at 412- Telephone, Bob.
You know, please, it's a big story when people are calling all the time.
Right. Is that Sully?
No,
get him on the
Sully.
Air if
no,
it is.
It's not Sully.
412-928-9370. Here's the bigger story, the larger theme here. And Arthur Staple hit on it. We just had him on from The Athletic. It's a great time to be Mike Sullivan. Man, it is. And I'm happy for Mike Sullivan. And I'm thankful for what Mike Sullivan did here. And it's okay to part ways. It's a great time to be Mike Sullivan. Go out and coach somebody else, a team that's not at a dead end like this one at the moment, and make a ton of money. Go do it. And the Penguins will continue with what they're doing, which hopefully is a rebuild, hopefully a quick one. It reminds me, and it evokes the Chicago Bears calling up Art Rooney II. Bob, maybe you're right. Maybe the Penguins and Sully were desperately looking for an out. The Chicago Bears provided the Steelers with one. Hello, Art. We want to trade for Mike Tomlin. And instead of even entertaining that, instead of even asking the Bears what they would give up for Tomlin, Art apparently treated them like a telemarketer and hung up. That was their out. And again, it's okay. Everybody lives probably happily ever after. Bill Belichick looks happy to me in North Carolina, you know?
A lot of reasons for that, I suppose.
Mike McCarthy went on to win 12 games, three straight years in Dallas. Some murky waters now. Pete Carroll looks happy to me. Everybody moves on. Scotty Bowman moved on, right? Him and the Buffalo Sabres at one point came to a mutual agreement, and he went on to great success. The greatest NHL coach of all time. Also moved on from Montreal, didn't he, and came to Pittsburgh. Bill Belichick, maybe the greatest NFL coach of all time. It happens, and everybody should live happily ever after, but the Steelers just can't bring themselves to do anything to move on from Mike Tomlin, and they had their out. And Bob, that's the story to me here, is comparing these two organizations, one of which, not by design, sunk to the bottom of the league where you need to be, at least for a year or two, and moved on from its coach, however it happened. The other one is stuck in this perpetual high-end mediocrity nightmare with Mike Tomlin. Neither side can bring themselves to say, there might be something better out there for both of us. You were awesome here. You won a Super Bowl here. You went to two Super Bowls. My God, it's been almost a decade since you've been competitive in a playoff game. Can we just move on for both of our sakes, or are we going to stay together for the kids? You know?
Well, let's look at the comparisons there also. Both have years left on their contract. So that did not stop the Penguins from making a move, despite the fact that this contract had years left. So if Mike Sullivan wanted to stay and he was intent on staying, I don't know that this would have happened. You know, if he really wanted to stay here, would the Penguins have gone through this? I think they, like I said, it just seems to me like they were both looking for exit plans, and it mutually happened at the same time. But if Mike Sullivan truly wanted to stay, do you think they would have just come right out and said, we're firing him?
If he wanted to stay, I don't. I think they would have kept him.
Right.
But in the end, Bob, I think you're right about this, that if both sides had an inkling, this presented the opportunity. Sullivan actually presented the opportunity by saying, here's my list of non-negotiables. Okay, we can't meet that. And again, the real point is it's a chance to live happily ever after. You had one of the longest tenures I ever remember for an NHL coach.
It's way above the average, for sure.
It's okay.
And he earned it when you win two championships in back-to-back seasons.
Scotty Bowman moved on from multiple organizations. Bill Belichick. It happens.
Andy Reid.
Jimmy Johnson. It's okay. But it doesn't seem to be for the Steelers. Art seems to be afraid of what happened from like 1930 to 1972. We can't go back to that. And good for the Penguins, I say, and good for Mike Sullivan. Both.
Yeah. Good for both. That's the way it's going to end, and we'll see what they do. Now the next stage is what happens here. And we can talk a lot about Mike Sullivan, where they go, where he goes. But what about here? Who are the people who may be considered? Because I'm sure.
Let's talk about that.
There was Sheldon Keefe. Remember him? And I think Dubas really liked him. He ends up going to New Jersey where he took a job. There are other people in his past that he will definitely look forward to meeting with. But there are also some big names out there. And who is interested in the rebuild?
Let's talk about it. That's a great way to turn right now, but we also want your thoughts on this whole thing. 412-928-9370 and how it relates to the other team in town. The Steelers. One of the other two, but specifically the Steelers. And how many times have we talked about the similarities with these two coaches, starting with the fact that they're both named Mike? They arrive. They have immediate and historic success. Immediate. And then it starts to go south a little bit. And then it stays that way. And then it stays that way. And then it stays that way for years and years and years until it's obvious. Can we just stop for everybody's sake? The Penguins did. The Steelers haven't. 412-928-9370. Fan Twitter. Brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And our six-pack brought to you by Bet365. Yes, if it were the Bears, I would have been happy for Mike Tomlin. It's a happy parting. Mike, go out and live your life. You've done so much here. But there's other horizons. Go have a franchise quarterback in Caleb Williams. Go to a team in a city that wants you right now, that would love you right now. Please. I mean, I would have wished him well, as I do Sully. And I would have said he's probably going to succeed there. But it seems to be stale and done here. Bob, let's go to the phone lines. Penguins, Mike Sullivan, parting ways. And I would, again, urge everybody out there who's listening, that having been in this business, actually covering the Penguins for many years, teams, understandably, like political organizations, anything else, always want you to believe there's no acrimony, right? They want you to believe this was a nice, mutual parting of the ways, probably to the point where, we had a nice dinner, a parting dinner with Mike Salt, that type of thing. It's never that way at the end. There was clearly some acrimony here, or at least some heavy dispute here. Just like last year, when you had national people saying that Dubas and Sullivan were at odds, of course they'd be at odds. Mike Sullivan, one of the people closest to him in the world, was Todd Reirden. They got rid of him. Now, he was allowed to bring in another person closest to him in the world, which is David Quinn, but clearly everything wasn't hunky-dory with with Sullivan and Kyle Dubas. I think that's kind of obvious now, although you're probably still here, that it was a very nice mutual parting of the ways. Something happened here. Again, Adam Crowley, Doran Dickerson reporting that they had gotten word that Sully approached the Penguins with a list of non-negotiables. And certainly the Penguins will want to dispute that. Of course they will, right? Because again, that's their job. And they, you know, have a pretty heavy influence. Some organizations are very successful at influencing people. Some aren't. The Penguins over the years have been very successful at influencing people to sort of ride their message. Of course, one of their messages was coming out of there was, and from the people who cover the team, oh, Mike Sullivan will be back. Of course he will. Don't think he's coming back, Bob.
No, it just became time on both sides. They were indicating different things with the way they spoke, and it led to this. So, I mean, there's nothing wrong with, reports that come out about what happened. And the team itself, I mean, what are they going to do about it? It's over now. Just move on. And their next focus should be on who they're going to bring in here next.
I agree with that. It should be. I mean, the last people on earth you want to believe when you're covering City Hall is City Hall, right? That's why we have reporters. Okay. Enough on that. 412-928-9370. Man, it's going to be very, very interesting to see who the next coach is, Bob. Rick Tocchet might be an option, right? There's got to be some younger guys out there.
You have to look at guys who are going to be interested in building a team through years. You know, just a rebuild, whatever you want to call it. Some of these big name guys that you may talk about, and I include Tocchet in this, he may not be interested in that. You know, and also at the end of the day, just like DK Metcalf, when he signed here, didn't have a quarterback. One of his thoughts before he was traded was, hey, I want to go to a place that can win and has a quarterback. Well, they didn't have a quarterback. Money talks. Whoever pays the most will get what they get. So Rick Tocchet could have his choice of teams as well, and I wouldn't be surprised if Philadelphia ends up reaching out to him. He had history there, just as he does here. But you better be interested in a rebuild, and you're going to have to take time with that, which may be good for a guy because he knows he has several years.
Right. And also, keep in mind the end of Dubas' statement today, where he wanted to make it clear that the Penguins made this decision in the end. As we continue to navigate the Penguins through this transitional period, we felt it was the best course forward for all involved. So was he fired then? I guess it doesn't matter in the end, but I can assure you it wasn't done over a celebratory dinner.
No.
412-928-9370. Let's go to the phone lines, Bob. Then we'll talk candidates coming up top of the hour.
Well, let's do it. Joe, let's start with Ryan in New Jersey. He wants to chime in on Sullivan.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, guys. I think you summed it up perfectly. It was the right move for both sides. It's overdue. It's nice not to see a team beholden to the coach because that's ridiculous in modern sports. But the first thing that popped into my head was, did Crosby execute Order 66, no pun intended, on this?
I don't think so.
What happened?
That I don't believe, Bob. Do you?
Okay. No, I don't at all. I think he's... looked at Mike as a guy who he really trusts, and the way he coaches, he understands the message. I think he plays the way Mike Sullivan wants everyone to play. The rest of it wasn't working that well, Ryan. So I would be surprised if that were the case. But okay. I do think he'll have influence on who comes in here next.
Yeah. That being said, this changes everything on the dynamics of these older players, I think. I mean, what happens to these guys? I mean, one should be retired. This is getting ridiculous with the health problems. But so one's going to walk probably at the end of the year, or maybe he retires now. We don't know. And then there's Crosby. Does this open the door for him to move on? Does it? Because that was always a possibility with that extension he signed. Anyway, thanks for picking the call. I appreciate it, guys.
Thanks,
no,
Ryan.
That's an interesting question.
And no one would blame him if he didn't want to be part of something that was labeled as a rebuild or viewed as a rebuild. Maybe he's not interested in that.
But I don't think this is necessarily indicative of a rebuild. The Washington Capitals brought in a young, dynamic coach who instilled structure into their game.
And they made some phenomenal moves.
Whose voice was fresh, starting with him. because not that talented of a team. The coaching job is miraculous there.
I understand that, but I think they had more stuff to play with down there, and they made some shrewd acquisitions, specifically in goal, but also in other areas that helped their team. So,
but my point there, Bob, was even though Sid is on the record as saying he wants Sullivan around and loves Sullivan, I don't know that this would be motivating for him to want to leave. I don't think so. I think Sid is committed here.
I do too.
No matter what.
I do too. But I wouldn't rule out totally that if things get off the track here a little bit, that he may say, you know, I don't know if I want to continue doing this.
And I think
he would have every right to if he would.
He can do whatever he wants. Absolutely. And I think he knows the deal, and so does Sullivan. It's pro sports. It hasn't been 2 years. It hasn't even been 5 years. It's been three of no playoffs and four before that of going out in the first round. That's Steeler-like, except the Steelers have one more year and they weren't even competitive in their playoff games. That's a long time, Bob. Everybody knows the deal in pro sports. Sid can't be totally shocked at this. You can't be. So then the question becomes, who's next? Would you like Tockett as a replacement?
Yeah, I like Rick. You know, I don't know if he's got the mindset. He was with Arizona for those years where they were just terrible. Had a good year in Vancouver. This year fell apart. I just think it's about options and it's about money and it's about where he would ultimately like to go. He's had a history.
Would you hire him?
I'd have to look at other people too, though. I don't know. I don't know if I'd say that right now. I like Rick Tockett a lot, but I don't know if he would.
I wouldn't.
I would have to see who else is on the list.
And I like Rick Tockett a lot. Don't get me wrong. But I just think it's time for a Carberry-like figure here, someone who will grow with the young. They're going to be bringing in a lot of young guys. This is
and
not,
you could pry somebody away from another organization. Some guy in their system who that you like, approach him, and boom, you got an answer.
Tockett's 61. I would imagine he's looking to win right now.
Yeah.
So as much as I respect him, and he also hasn't exactly been a great playoff coach, Bob. He's been coaching in the league for like 9 years and has won one playoff series. So that it wouldn't make sense for Tockett, really. As much as I like him, he needs to go somewhere where he has a chance to win right away, I think.
Again, there are teams in the playoffs right now who may be in a position to move on from their coach when they get eliminated and change it. So that's not unusual in the NHL. You don't see that in many sports. You do see it in the NHL. So one of those teams that's still playing could be in need of a coach after they make a switch if they see who's out there and who's available.
And it may
we saw that with the Boston Bruins twice now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they moved on from people even though they had success in Boston.
I want to see a younger guy, an up-and-comer who's going to come in here and hopefully – sort of rise with the team. It doesn't make sense to bring in a guy, a finish the job type guy. The job hasn't even really started. This isn't time for finishing it. It's time for starting it, right?
The Penguins have, over the years too, looked at their own organization and people in their system and wondered if they could be the guy. And that's where Sullivan came from too. You know, he had head coaching experience, but he also was there. So when they made the change, he was the guy they brought up.
Yeah.
Dan Bylsma, you know, those kinds of situations.
He's out there, Bob.
He 1 year in Seattle and he was gone.
Yeah, he's not going to be here.
No, he's not going to be here.
And neither is David Quinn. I think they're going to want to completely revamp and start anew here with the coaching
staff.
Quinn
may go with Sullivan wherever he goes next.
Maybe, yeah. Next.
All right, let's go to Frank in Greensburg. Wants to chime in on Sullivan.
Hey, Joe, I agree with everything you say. I think Mike Sullivan was a great coach. I think he was better than Scotty Bowman. But it was time for him to go, just like Tomlin. But where I think he got handcuffed is the Penguins should have dumped Malkin and Letang 5 years ago. They should have kept Guentzel. Guentzel was the future. And I think that's really where you can't blame him for that. And I think that's where all the problems are today.
Yeah, they should have dumped who? Malkin and who?
Malkin and Letang.
Yeah, maybe. But listen, man, I have a feeling if you would have asked Mike Sullivan at that time, do you want these guys here? You would have been met with a resounding yes, I think, because I think he always wants to win right now. And I think he probably figured as much as those guys can give you headaches with their mistakes, they also win you championships, I think. Bob, I don't know how you feel. I appreciate the call.
I would have moved on from Malkin.
Would Sully have?
At some point, you have to convince him that it's the best move for the organization. If he doesn't agree with that, then you have problems. But you know.
But this guy is saying that Sullivan should escape some blame here because they foisted Malkin and Letang on him in his later years.
I don't think
my argument would be that he wanted them.
Well, if he wanted them, then he's contributing to what was the problem, which was nostalgia took precedent over everything else.
Yeah.
And I understand that. That was a big part of, and it still is a big part of the Penguins' history. These three guys have been around forever, and they should be celebrated as such.
Yeah.
But like everything else, you get to a point where you're running out of time. And if you have asset management in mind as a GM or a organization, you have to know when it's time with players to move on and get something back in return. It's never easy to do it, but it's in the best interest if you can get assets before you'll never get those assets again.
Yeah.
And now they're in a situation where they're just going to wait for everybody to time out, contract's over, and that'll be that. But this window is very close to being shut for them as far as Stanley Cup championships. So
very close to being shut. Bob, they've used wood glue on it by now, but cement glue.
Back the in 2018 windows. Or 2019, they've couldn't. What do you think they would have gotten for Evgeny Malkin at that point?
James Harrison in his prime couldn't budge this window open, Bob.
Well, they operated as if it was.
Well,
they
wanted it shut, to be. It's so. Shut now, and it's time to open a new one.
Sure, but
and that's going
to
take a
that
while.
That led them to keep everyone in place.
Yeah,
and that's the you believed it. It didn't happen.
And I would argue Sully wanted that. So I wouldn't let him escape blame like these veterans have been foisted on him.
Well, just as he was preaching one part of the game that they didn't adhere to. So they didn't. Mm-hmm. These are the guys who've been around you forever.
Yeah.
You're telling them you need to set the example and play better defensive 200-feet hockey, and you're not.
412-928-9370. Adam Crowley, Doran Dickerson reporting that Mike Sullivan went to the Penguins with a list of non-negotiables. Obviously, again, when it comes to City Hall covering itself, the Penguins aren't going to like a report like that, and they're going to want their own people to be breaking news about why this happened. And I'm sure some people who are heavily connected with them will be refuting that report and trying to break their own news as to why this happened. It sounds very, very believable to me that Sully would do that. And it wouldn't surprise me a bit, again, Bob, if number one on that list was... are you planning on keeping number 65 around here? And if the answer was yes, that may have been a problem.
But 65 can say no, and then you're stuck with them. There's nothing you can do.
Right.
So
who cares anyway at this point how it happened? They're in a better place than the Steelers. Despite the glowing reports of the Steelers draft, and maybe it was a good draft. We're going to get to that as well. I think the Penguins are in a better place right now. They've sunk to the bottom of the league. They've stockpiled future assets, and now they're going to have a new coach, which they need. All right, 412-928-9370. Bob, we have to transition at some point. The Pittsburgh Steelers just had a draft, for God's sakes, and we have to talk about it.
Yes, a lot of interesting names came and went. One big name never went until the fifth round, and who took him?
Can you imagine in the same day as this if we get Aaron Rodgers announcing he's coming?
Yeah, I don't think that's happening.
When do you think it will?
It will happen, but not now. Later in the summer.